Tim Hamill, faculty member of the Kinesiology Department at Fresno State, joining us. And by the way, if you'd like to hear the conversation with Adrian Wiggins, that we're the part of what we're talking about, you can hear it on 1430ESPN.com on the podcast section there. Have you been surprised by anything as you've gone through this process along the way, from what you hear, from what you see, by anything at all?
I'm not sure if I've been surprised. You have to take the context of what a head coach, a D1 head coach, what their job entails. And so he's allowed us to study him, which is extremely unique, and his behaviors. And from that, how it's helped him be more successful and able to reach the kids or the students. So I think it's fascinating to me to see someone who just wants to get better, and just us or the whole research team to be a part of it.
I asked him if he's heard anything, if he's heard anything on the tapes that makes him cringe. And I'll be honest, I don't quite remember what he said. I think he said from time to time maybe, but there's not a whole lot. You know, he talks to the officials a lot, which I'm sure is fascinating. But is there any part of what you get, do you get anything from indirect communication? Not necessarily the communication he has with players, but the way a coach interacts with an official in front of a player, or the way a coach interacts with an assistant coach in front of players. Is there any value in that?
I think there's a tremendous value on, and as we were talking earlier, the trust factor that's involved with your head coach and your assistants. You know, you mentioned the fact that you see Coach Frank sometimes might call a play. Well, that play is probably practiced numerous times. It's not just kind of spur of the moment. And when you have a trust factor amongst your coaching staff, it probably makes it a little bit easier. And secondly, your players see that. And so the players are able to adapt to that trust factor as well. And so you have a harmonious group right there. And trust in coaching is huge.
Yeah, to your point, I think the play they ran to win the conference tournament last year was something Brett Frank had taken, had seen on film when he went, or he saw in a game when he went to watch a former player of his, and I think they practice it like every day.
Yeah, Guy, it's funny that you brought that up, because I have right in front of me here an email that I sent to Coach Wiggins about that. And when Matt and I were sitting in my office, we were reading interview after interview about him, and he was thinking about changing, and he didn't quite know what to do.
Interview and from players?
An interview from him.
Okay.
And, you know, he talked about the defense stuff. He's like, man, I got to get him to play defense. And right here, the actual interview was from Dr. Gilbert's class when he went and spoke. And he quoted John Wooden. He said, don't let what you cannot do interfere with what you can do. And so, knowing we were so saturated in that data, well, I sent him that quote, okay? And then he said, your point well taken. I think I'm comfortable with that. And then right there, I sent him an email back, said yes. And he said, right here, it said, thanks, I trusted your advice. Okay, it wasn't my advice. It was what he said a long time ago. And so that's how, you know, that qualitative data can help him out, or a coach out, to have someone study him.
It's fascinating. Tim Hamill joining us, faculty member in the Kinesiology Department at Fresno State. We don't normally do this during interviews, but I understand someone has a question for you, if you don't mind taking it.
Thank you.
Matt's on the Telepacific Communications hotline. Hey, Matt, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Guy. And Professor, it sounds like you're doing a really interesting study, and certainly a tribute to Coach Wiggin for participating. My question is, does your study account for any differences between coaching women and coaching men? Just as, you know, someone who's not involved in the coaching profession, I guess I would just be curious as to whether or not any differences exist, and whether or not, Coach Wiggins tailors his coaching style in any way because of those differences. Thanks for taking my call, and I'll take a response off the air.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, that's a great question, and that will always be a question of a male coach with a female team. It's funny you say that, because I had Margie Wright in class, speaking to my class the other day, and she said, you know, sometimes I wish I would be able to coach a guy's team, because I can just tell them exactly what to do and how to do it, and it wouldn't be a problem or an issue. But it hasn't really come up. And I think the fact that there's so much trust in who he is as a person, his character, And that's one thing that we look at, too, within what we have a definition of what coaching effectiveness is that are you a character type of person? And so when you start recruiting and looking at the winners, or you start looking at the character of the people you recruit, they're just a reflection of you, that person, or you, that leader, or you, that coach. So specifically, no, that really has not came up at all.
But if he, to Marjorie, to the point you made about Marjorie Wright speaking in your class, if he's coaching a men's team, does he do things differently?
I believe he doesn't do things differently from a perspective of his communication style, the way he conducts himself. Now, obviously, his offense and his defense might be different, but we're looking at, I would personally look at his behaviors. I don't think he would change personally.
Tim Hamill, faculty member of the kinesiology department at Fresno State. But before we wrap up, and I could listen to the, we could talk about this for a long time. But is there anything else that that stands out to you about the research you're doing?
I think the fact that Adrian is always searching for that answer, and it's the why. I think it's important to search for the why. A lot of the times, we go from, you know, it's called the Simon Sinek's the golden circle. We go what, how, why, and that's how we think. But we need to think a little bit differently and go why, how, what. So it's kind of a reverse way of thinking. And I think the great ones get that. They start with the why, and they build that case for them, and they structure themselves around it and their environment or that around it, and then they proceed with that.
And so then when the players, as they will, ask why, does the coach, are you better off as a coach delivering an answer, or are you better saying, I'm the coach, just do what I tell you, we'll be fine?
Correct. Yeah, nowadays, as we were talking about, nowadays you have to tell them, we are doing this because this is the way we're going to do it, because this is most effective.
And so, but you have to give them, you got to give them the reason.
Exactly.
Why.
You have to give them the answer. Where they're intrigued about the answer. They'll always ask you why. And you have to provide that answer. Then comes, okay, I understand now. Now I trust you a little more. So trust is a huge factor, and follow up with the why.
I know I said that was the last thing, but here's another one now.
Okay.
His teams don't watch film. He does not show his players film. And I've never heard of a coach doing that. Why is that effective for him?
Because and that's a great question to ask him. I believe it's because he doesn't want the players thinking about so too much. They're going to focus on what they do and what they can do best, and that's their game plan. They don't need to worry or get overloaded by so many different offenses coming at, defenses coming at them, and it's just this is the program, this is what we're going to do, and this is why we're doing it. And it's been successful.
At the heart of it all, Tim, it sounds like what it all comes back to is if they trust him for the right reasons, then if he's a good enough coach, they will do what he says to do.
Yeah. Sometimes we look at that a direction of causality. And I'm a firm believer of your cohesion. If you set that cohesion in that setting, if you get that team chemistry down, then your performance will increase. That's what I believe, and I think that's what Adrian believes too.
Chemistry.
Yeah.
It matters.
Look at the New York Giants that you're
look
talking
at the New York,
about.
Sure. And yeah, I mean, it's a great point. And I think I talked about it on the show yesterday too, but Tom Coughlin asked Kurt Warner after his last year there, tell me what I need to do better. And obviously he had to be willing to hear the truth. And then, on top of that, they'll also understand how to apply it,
exactly.
which is probably difficult in and of itself, understanding how to communicate and apply it.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. Tim Hamill, a faculty member at Fresno State. I hope the research continues and we can get some updates.
Hey, I'd love to come back, and I appreciate having me on, Guy, as part of the team.
Maybe next time. I'm sure people make suggestions to you about your research all the time that are spot on, right? An analysis of... I'd be fascinated to see what coaches, and maybe this is part of it, and I don't mean to suggest seriously, but he talks to officials a lot. I wonder what the most effective way to talk to an official is. And I don't know if there's a way to get an answer on that. I don't know if there's a way to get an answer on that. But